Welcome, everybody, to episode 42 of Overdunk. My name is Zoinks, your host, and today I have a few very special guests to talk all things about the role of attacker in Pokemon Unite. Now, this is a very interesting role, maybe the most flexible role in the game over the course of history. We'll have to discuss that more as we get on, but we have some guests that definitely need to be introduced so you can stop hearing me talk at the start of, the show. Rima, why don't you kick us off? Who are you? Say your name, how long you've been playing, and then, how people might know you.
Hello, my name is Rima. I'm mostly known as a content creator. I stream on Twitch, and I've been playing the game since 1 week into launch, I think.
Cool. Yeah, you've been around for a while.
I've been around.
good. And if you're watching visually, by the way, because of capturing Rima's VTuber model, we just have two windows with her on either side of my head. But just so you know, when Rima's talking, it'll be this one. Next up, why don't you introduce yourself, Otter?
Hi, my name's Otter VGC. I stream on Twitch. I'm on Twitter. I peaked during the Japanese beta, probably. played on Full Send.
All flipped downhill. A few cards.
I still play now.
Sick. Yeah, no, we got to watch you win our Unite Mice tournament last evening, which was really, really fun to watch. So you definitely have not peaked then. That was obviously the peak. Welcome onto the show. And then Curios, of course, our world champion. Why don't you introduce yourself for the people?
Hey, everyone. Curios. I've been playing pretty much since the first day the game came out as well. Played on a bunch of teams, but ended up going with Ascendance. We went to Black Hand for our organization, and yeah, we competed at the World Championship, managed to win the whole thing, so it was great.
Yeah, that was super fun to watch, for sure. But yeah, congratulations yet again. I feel like I said that a bajillion times when you guys were on last time. But hey, if we have you back, I definitely gotta give you the credit until someone takes away the championship belt next year. But up until that point, we will get to there one day. But we are here to talk all about things Attacker World. Now, if you've listened to the show the past few weeks, we've hit on quite a few already. We've talked about all things jungle, all things tank, all things support. Well, of course, we have to fit into the attacker role this week. Now, it's an interesting one because I think it's a hard role to define depending on the meta. Sometimes it's very clearly you're just, you know, a cog in the machine of 113. You go down there, you make sure that your tank secures everything and you get to carry in the late game. And other times you're running all over the map, trying to get stacks in, trying to get experience. It's really an interesting role in that regard. But I want to know from the three of you, what was your favorite meta to play attacker in? Historically, the whole game, I think all three of you have played the game since release or even prior to that. So why don't we just go around the horn one more time and you all tell me what your favorite meta was to play attacker. Rima, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, definitely this one. I think finally attacker is relevant. well, it was before, but he had to kind of work harder for it. And it's a mage meta, and you're kind of like unlocked from the bottom lane for once. You have more options as to where you're going to go and when you're going to roam around the map, when you're going to rotate. There's like 8 minutes B skirmish. I love that part of the game. I think that's one of the most like fun parts early game.
Yeah.
You're like kind of always on your toes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just not holding yourself to one lane. There's stuff to do elsewhere, which is really, really fun.
Yeah. I remember there was a time where it was just like a 1v1 mirror matchup bot lane forever where you just farmed.
Yeah, that meta seemed to last a long time. Curios, how about you? What was your favorite meta to play attacker in?
I sound a little biased, but I think the Rolls patch was actually the best. I think that was the patch where you could kind of play anything in bot lane. Of course, we know like the slot to like Hoopa and Blissey were pretty locked in during that patch. But
right.
I think what that also meant was that you could play a variety of things, not just like in bot lane, but also in the jungle. I feel like the jungle meta during Worlds could have been a lot more interesting. I think like, you know, teams like Renaissance showed like a really nice variety of junglers and, you know, they place really well.
Yeah.
So it's clearly not just like, you know, everybody thought it was just Dragonite. But I think that as a whole with Hoopa and Blissey kind of enabling a lot of different characters, allowed you to play like Machamp bot, Aegislash bot. You could pull out the Venus or you could pull out the Trevenant, anything like that. You could pull out like many, many different Pokemon in bot lane. So I thought that was the most interesting.
That's cool. Is that kind of what draws you to this attacker role that you play in? Do you like having options to play each game? Or are you more the type that's like, I want to find one Pokemon, I want to master that, and then I'll move on to the next one?
Definitely flexibility is more interesting, just because, like, there's no way to know everything in the game unless you play everything. And that's how kind of, you kind of figure out what's good and what's bad and how you feel like on different Pokemon. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Otter, how about you? What was your favorite meta to play the attacker role in?
I might have to agree with Rima. I might have to say right now, because bot lane, you have the best character in the entire roster.
Yep.
And you have more XP for the first time ever, probably, than any other role on the map.
Yeah.
So you just have infinite agency, but there's definitely a downside in to being stuck on one character. And Kyrios is right. Like, it used to be, like, very recently, it was very flexible, where you could actually play anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at least, like, now you know you're always picking the right thing into every matchup. It's just about playing it better, which I kind of like. I'm probably more of a fan of that style, just play it better. But yeah. I do also like busting out something kind of like creative or off meta.
Mm-hmm. It really seems that this is actually more of an esports wide style thing, or any competitive video game. It doesn't even have to be the competitive scene, but just you kind of have two camps of people. Those that really like just seeing variety every single time they tune into their favorite streamer or favorite teams and watch them play. And then you have the other camp, which is like, I want to see meta refinement. I want to see, you know, I want to see the tank diff. I want to see the attacker diff. You know, there's two players playing the same Pokemon, but just who has the better skill expression on the day. It's interesting to see how attacker really showcases that in meta to meta. Rima, you talked about this when I asked you about what your favorite meta was. You were talking about the impact that the attacking role has on the game right now. You're saying it's really large. Otter, you also mentioned you're getting a ton of experience in this meta this time around, becoming a very, very powerful part of any team fight or objective fights for sure. Rima, do you think that, like, right now in this meta, attacker is, like, the most relevant Pokemon? Do you feel like you're the make it or break it kind of role for your team?
I think the last two metas were when the all-rounders were really in, that you could also be like the secondary or maybe even the main carry, depending on how the game went in a team. But now you're definitely still kind of, no matter how the game plays, the secondary carry or the primary one. So yeah, it's definitely very impactful right now. Muse is super, super strong and super like versatile.
Gotcha. Otto, you were just talking about that. Do you agree with Rima? Do you think this meta right now, that attacker has some of the most impact on the game out of all the roles?
Yeah, I probably. I mean, it's close with like Mr. Mime.
You get to do
whatever you want. You can be the nomad, and then like at 7 minutes, for example, you can be anywhere on the map. You can be in your jungle, like while your team is stalling on both sides. You can do top objective, bot objective. You can be invading the enemy jungle. You can be wherever you want. And then if you show up with your team, you're the one that's going to be pocketed. You're the one who's probably going to be making the calls, because you have the most agency in the fights. And I've always kind of had the belief that when I know I have a very low agency character in a meta, like, I'm not talking. I'm following my team's calls, because they have a better gauge on, like, what's the right play to do, what's a good fight to go for.
Sure.
But right now, I know I'm doing, like, a lot of yapping because I do understand the map. I do understand, like, what my character can do.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Well, that's fantastic. I think your team is going to be appreciating your calling for sure. Kyrios, how about you? Do you think that attackers have a big impact on the end result of the game right now? Or do you feel kind of the opposite? Do you feel that maybe other roles are taking more of the spotlight in this meta?
I have to agree. I think attackers second, maybe influential. I think jungle's so really, really good, but attacker is very close, if not ahead, as like probably the most influential role in the game. Okay. I think, yeah, Mew, we all know how good Mew is, but I think there's also like different combinations of Pokemon you can play in like the tank and support role. I think those two roles are also pretty flexible now after the patch.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, you put in Mime somewhere, but you could go like Wigglytuff, you could go Blissey, you could go Hoopa, you can go a bunch of different picks. And with these different kind of picks, you can combine a lot of different things. I think Espeon is something that's worth talking about. I think Delphox is worth something talking about. I think some other Pokemon are good in combination, but like standalone Mew is like far and away the best.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, all these kind of Pokemon can be played really aggressively and just do a ton of damage. So yeah, it's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's awesome. So there is still flexibility, and even that is enough to give you some more impact on the game. I like to hear that a lot. Okay, interesting. So we've talked about it so much already, but we're kind of dancing on the subject. Mew is obviously the big bad Pokemon right now in this metagame. Definitely seeing a lot of social media, hate for this Pokemon. Some love, though, as well. Definitely, I know a few of you here in this chat really love this Pokemon. I think it's an incredible game design of a Pokemon. I really do think it's a little bit overtuned, but I do really enjoy the philosophy they've went in with making a Pokemon, you know, as fun to play as Mew. I think that has to also be something to consider. But yeah, since it has so many strengths, it's really taken over the meta a lot. Bugs aside, curious, let's start with you. I've kind of heard Rima and Otto's opinions around Mew. What are your opinions on that Pokemon? I know it's strong, but do you enjoy playing it? Do you not like this Pokemon? Where are your thoughts on Mew?
I think Mew is like really fun to play, of course, and the versatility of having like, you know, six abilities is very powerful and also makes a Pokemon exciting. But I just don't like in general when it's just, as I said before, I like flexibility. It's very hard to enjoy it when, you know, every single game is the same thing over and over again, right? Mm-hmm. Like if the Mew gets fed, it'll get out of control really quickly. Sure. And I'm sure you can like try to, you know, outplay it and kind of like try to get ahead of the other Mew when you're facing it. But there's going to be a lot of situations, especially like in MOBAs and in Pokemon Unite, where Mew picks up a comeback XP kill and they're like level 14 jungler. Suddenly Mew's level 13 and you're stuck level 11. Something like that can just easily happen in these kind of games. So when it comes like that, and especially when you play against, you know, really good Mews, like when you play against Otter or something, if he gets ahead, it's like pretty unstoppable. Like a mirror matchup every single game. If you get ahead and he's good, then what can you do, really? So
that's
probably just my preference. So as in the mirror every single time, every single game, just knowing that I'm going to be playing a mirror is like not the most enjoyable.
Yeah, no, it can get taxing for sure. I think everyone will agree with you at a point. We all have our limits of how many times we can play that same Pokemon. Otter, I believe you had how many games when you first got off Mew? Was it 600 something?
It's close to 600, I think.
Okay, cool. So it doesn't affect us all the same, but you...
Yeah, some of us have rotted brains at this point.
Sure. Yeah, we just got Mew Brain. I think that's a fair one to have. Okay, awesome. Well, we have talked a lot about Mew already, but there are other options right now for the attacker role a little bit. I mean, Mew definitely defines a lot of things, but curious, you were even mentioning a couple of other Pokemon that you think are worth talking about, especially because there's synergy around supports and things like that. One I wanted to bring up right off the start, though, is Glaceon. Glaceon definitely finds itself in jungle quite often, but it can be played as an attacker role, even Sylveon as well. Curious put the case for Espeon, but Rima, if you had to pick one Pokemon outside of Mew right now, what do you think is your choice that you would really like to be playing in a competitive environment?
An attacker? I think it's like in a draft setting, right? I think Espeon's really good, really strong laner. Like, I would love to play Delphox because I love playing Delphox, but I think I would probably get shit on depending on the matchup.
Sure.
I think you need your team to give you jungle or something. Mm-hmm. Some weird rotation here to make her work.
Yeah. Delphox definitely seemed to have a great, like, uptick when all the cooldown reduction was pumped into the game around the Thea Sky Ruins, introduction of emblems, the list goes on and on. But now it seems like the Pokemon has simmered down a little bit.
I think Espeon's really good in lane, and she fits with my mage playstyle that I really like. So I think I'm gonna say Espeon.
Okay, awesome. Otter, how about you? I know you kind of changed to the new, but if you had to pick something else,
as like the second best,
sure.
It's like I wish I had more experience, like any experience on any character this patch apart. Like I only play Mew.
I don't know. 567
games straight on this new map of Mew. Like,
okay, sure.
All right. I will say, a lot of characters are strong, but they all have weaknesses. Like I do think Sylveon's very good, so incredibly vulnerable to invade, and it can't play the lane out on its own. And if you want a lane and you're against a Serena lane, you can't stop them from stacking. You can't do the same thing on the opposite side. I'd say like it's lame, but Serena is still very, very good.
Sure. Pokemon's insanely strong.
on its own as like a ranged attacker independently, probably Espeon.
Okay. Interesting. That's two vouches for Espeon now. Kyrios, how about you? What's another Pokemon that you want to see be explored in this metagame outside of just the Mew pick?
That's really interesting. Yeah. Espeon's good for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Otter made a very strong point that every Pokemon has strengths and weaknesses, especially once you don't pick Mew. I think one of the more interesting things is I think teams like Nemesis have done this more often where they pick melee spot lane.
Mm-hmm.
I used to not enjoy playing against Nudo at all, but I actually am a fan of Absol bots in that it plays very well into the ranged attackers that are pretty meta right now.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of experience in the bottom lane, if you can hit power spikes really quickly, I think Absol can be like one of the most powerful Pokemon. Like if you hit five quick, you get your Night Slash or something like that and you start dominating. Yeah. I think the role of the bot lane can be powerful in that you can play for late game carry, but you could also kind of like draft more carry style top lane Pokemon and jungle Pokemon. And if you can have a really dominant bot lane, I think Absol could be really good for that.
yeah, that would be huge. Okay, Tune threw a question out of chat that I feel like I need to pose. How do attackers feel that everyone thinks that their role is the easiest?
I've accepted it.
Do you agree, Rima? Do you think that attacker is the easiest role to play?
There was a point where I think attacker was the easiest role to play, yeah. It was the role that required the least macro.
Okay. Otter?
Yeah, I think until just recently, you needed, like, you just followed your team's orders, and you play, like, character that most metas, you're playing a very low mechanically intensive character. But now, there's the Mew thing.
Oh.
that if you don't have games on, it does show. Wow. Well, not really. It's still broken, but it does show a bit.
Is this true, Kyrios? Were you carried to a world championship?
Oh. I don't want to answer that question. I know what Tune's gonna say. I don't see. I can't answer that, bro. Tune's gonna be like,
yes, he got carried.
What can I do?
That's a great Tune impression.
At that point, attacker, you were playing all the arounders. It was all the all rounders meta.
All rounders usually. I mean, most all rounders were pretty simple in that world special. Mm. I think right now. The
cross chop, you steal Zapdos, you win. GG.
Yeah.
it was calculated.
Yeah.
This patch, I think this patch is interesting because a lot of the carry Pokemon can be played in the bottom lane and usually have to have, pretty good mechanics like Master Mew, Master the Espeon, Master like the Delphox, these kind of popular picks. Usually require like decently difficult mechanics to like pull off of their max potential, but I mean, yeah, if we're talking about historically, if we have to, like, look at the roles throughout the entire game, attacker's the easiest for sure.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, I definitely thought you guys were going to defend yourselves a little bit more. You just sort of accepted the Tune slander, but I suppose that's going to happen. Let's jump into some more, general questions around the role. Maybe that people who are wanting to become more competitive in the game of Unite might start asking you, but what is one thing that you see a lot of players do on the attacker role that you just think is outright wrong? What is something that players are doing wrong right now? Otter, what is it?
Not buying Mew.
Okay, great. Yep.
Sinful.
Not playing Mew. You're trolling. You're not playing.
No. My honest answer would be, if your jungler is doing something, do not hesitate to steal their jungle, like at all. Okay. Five stacks, so especially solo queue there, but even in five stacks or any type of stack, take the jungle. Like there's too much to be doing on the map. If you're not doing anything, if you're sitting back like bot lane while standstill, like no one's trying to do the bot Reggie. If you're getting the jungle, you're actually getting so much value on the map, but a lot of the times people just stare or start an objective for no reason.
Okay, got it. He'll steal jump. Makes a lot of sense. Hey, not stealing, it's, sharing is caring, whatever. Rima, what is one thing that attacker players are doing wrong right now?
Well, I think one thing that I see people not do enough is move and rotate. Like, you can pressure the enemy, like, bottom buff. A lot during the laning phase. If you just disappear out of vision for a few seconds, you can see if you can get a snipe on it, or you can just look for a roam. You gotta like make those quick decisions, being like, if I move right now, what I'm gonna get from my roam, is it gonna be more than the XP that I get in lane from staying and farming? And sometimes it's worth like a good player will find ways to get value out of those rotations, yeah, or they'll stay in lane if that's the right play to do.
Yeah, that's the tough part too, right? It's because you're playing a very powerful role that has, you know, you have big amount of burst damage capable, but of course your movement speed is great as well, but you're, you know, the glass cannon of the role, or at least that's what most people have in their minds as the idea of the attacker role. So everything you're doing is a great play if it works out, but you have to, really good players, I think, like you are mentioning, are great at calculating that risk reward. Understanding that if I go in here, I can get a ton of experience and I should be able to get out if I play well enough. So I think that is a great, great call out. Curios, how about you? What is one thing that attacker players are doing wrong right now?
Kind of in the same vein. It's definitely people kind of stand around and just don't do much, okay, or they don't think proactively about like what they could be doing. I mean, sometimes it's like, sure, you have to play defensive, but I think so many times it's like, if you are weak, you should go for their jungle or something like that, or you could go for your jungle as well, or you need to pick up farm. If people kind of stand around, I've seen a lot of people just be like level 10, level 11 on Mew. Like, how can you be level 10 or 11 on that character at like Rayquaza fight, right? It's like, that should not be possible.
That's right, a better way to word what I said.
world champ, it's fine.
Yeah, but like, we need to get a lot more EXP on the attacker, like, once it comes to the Rayquaza in this patch, I think. You're playing a lot of carry Pokemon, you have to play a little more selfish. You gotta like try to get that experience on you whenever you can. Yeah. And I think it's a little different now just because like, yeah, you're always kind of the strongest Pokemon or maybe the second strongest Pokemon in the game.
Yeah.
When it comes to that Rayquaza fight. So it's really important that you're strong. You have the necessary setup for yourself. You have a bot outer pad to play on. Mm-hmm. All these kind of things. Like, make sure that you tell your team that you want this to happen to get yourself good setup. Cool.
That was like 10 different incredibly good pieces of advice all in one sentence. That was amazing. Bot pad up, play defensively there. Make sure you're strong enough as that raid fight. That was amazing.
It's all like combined. It's all it all does make sense because it leads to the consequence of you being underleveled and stuff. And that's something I said, Rima and I talked about before you got here, Curious, is that if you're not level 13 on Mew, you're gonna lose the game. Like like you're infinitely more likely to lose the game.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
It's much harder, yeah.
Yeah, I've run the numbers than Otter Shard. It is infinitely more likely to lose the game. It is bad. I've
run the numbers.
It is rad.
At
it
least
is not
infinite.
Good.
At least infinite.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so interesting, too. And when we had our support episode on this podcast, Inder was talking a lot about how the roles, especially between jungle and attacker, have sort of faded a little bit. They're not as clear-cut anymore, right? Especially because you're not locked down to a single lane. It's kind of become two carries and then the supportive players around them. And those roles are also kind of getting blended a little bit too, but you sort of have roam, two carries. So the attacker fitting that second carry role, I think more defines it in this metagame a little bit more if I'm, you know, making a judgment call on it. But that being said, my next question, we talked about what are players doing wrong. What is something that you, the three of you see, all of you are incredible attacker players, renowned in the community. What is something that if you see another player do that instantly puts a little check mark in your head of that player is a good attacker player? Just something they do. Maybe it's a small little habit. Maybe it's a macro decision they always make, or even a skill expression they do in game. What is it for you that it is an immediate that is a good player? Otter, how about you?
Probably camping the right bushes and just like, especially like late game, the way that the vision works now around the central area is if you know positioning and vision in the late game, that's one of the most important things because that is what most good players use to capitalize on like bad players or like nearly skilled players. Like that is typically, I think that is typically the edge. If you're like evenly leveled, it's just about positioning and vision in the late game. So I know I typically over aggress in these positions and sometimes I'll get punished because there's a player that I don't respect enough. And they'll catch me off guard because they predict me. They know what I'm doing. And then it feels like I slept on somebody and that they definitely earned like more respect than I should have given them.
They're humble too? Sheesh. Okay. Otter joining with some great advice as well to back it up. Curios, how about you? What is one thing that is that immediate that player is a good player for you?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, positioning is huge. And definitely a lot that comes with that is, like, knowing what places are safe and what places aren't, and like playing around that very smart, and also trying to get as much damage as possible, or like, or if you listen to kind of like where your tanks are playing, I think that's super important as well. I think a lot of people kind of disregard that. I think the attack role is not like you can't just like go out by yourself and try to get into the Crossa pit and do a lot of damage. You have to play around your front line really well. And I think people that can do that on carries like Mew or Delphox and even Glaceon and things like that, you can't really kill them ever. They'll basically be unstoppable as long as they play properly behind their supports. I think someone of that kind of skill is like, you know, they you just can't stop them if they're ahead. So it's really important.
That's awesome. I really need a video content piece from the three of you with just a giant whiteboard, and I'm just going to put bushes, and then I'll say this one, and then you all shake your head or nod your head if that's a good bush to be in or not.
Yeah, I mean it's all probability, and it's all like based off all the information on the map, like every enemy player that you saw, every teammate that you saw, like if you need to go for points, if you need to start the objective. So there's so many bits of information that you have. And it's hard to say, like, without hindsight, what is optimal, but there are things that are sinful to do.
Sure.
Like, there are wrong places to be, and there are, like, good or great places to be. And I think those shine. Those should say a lot about a player.
Okay, never mind. It won't just be a whiteboard. It'll be a full-on test. If you have scored this many points, top goal zone is broken, the defender is here, how many miles per hour do you need to try? And then, yeah, we'll see if you pass that test. Rima, how about you? What is that one thing that you watch a player do and it immediately marks them for you as a good attacker player?
When I lose minions to them in lane?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Lucy, yes, it counts.
I mean... It's a really hard question. I think the 2 points that Otter and Curious mentioned like are really good. So I think I'm going to go for something like broader. For me, like when I get impressed by another player is when I feel like they haven't got a lot of resources during the game, but they still manage to be really impactful during team fights, or they still manage to pump out the damage. So I think like players like that will always find a way to come back from a losing game or getting a pick on a like high level target and getting the XP come back from that. I think that's really valuable to have a player like that on your team.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in this metagame, if you can come back from a deficit, it is not an easy thing to do. So that is pretty huge. Okay, awesome. Before we get into our next category, I got to ask this last question. Do the three of you have any hot takes on the attacker role? The defender one was a little wild. Supports one was a bit more reserved. How about attackers? What are our hottest takes on this role? Anybody can go.
It's cut and dry for me. But
sure.
If I was going to say anything...
It's just play Mew and play it better. That's fine.
That's it. But if I was going to say anything, like, off the top of my head, every time I was telling the people that I play with yesterday that Ninetales is good...
Oh, okay.
Someone started giggling every time I brought it up. Every time I mentioned it. So I guess it's a hot take.
What do you think makes A9 good?
Like all of the dive characters are still very good, but they're nerfed enough to where Ninetales is like disengage and counter fights play out. Like if you play like a human, not like I played yesterday, they play out like amazingly. And it's a character that if you can have, especially like jungle being nerfed, if you like the character doesn't need many resources. Like you don't even need 13, but it's a luxury on Ninetales, which means you can just actually get your carries as strong as they should have been. Like you can get a level 14, 15 jungler.
Okay. I think that's a decent amount of vouch for it. Any hot takes from either Remo or Kyrios?
Wait, but you could technically not have to play Mew in the attacker slot if you're playing her as jungle.
Sure.
So in that case, the attackers would be something like Espeon, Delphox, Kram, maybe Teethar, maybe Absol.
Ooh, okay. So, I love that our hot take is You could put Mew in jungle, I guess.
Yeah, you could put Mew in jungle.
You need it, so... but you could move it, I guess. I don't know.
I think as long as you have a lot of mobility on this map, it's you're already like a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Kyrios, in what hot takes do you have, and in what way is it just play Mew?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the best.
Yeah.
I don't think that's like, yeah, there's no hot takes about that. But I think what you could do more often is if you are playing against another Mew bot lane, you could just play one bot lane and then somebody can always go to the jungle. Or I think a lot of times, like splitting kind of like died out in the meta, you could do a lot of split jungle. Ooh. I think that's strong too. But also, just like, even if you're Mew, you could like run to their buff level one and also have another person on your team run to their other buff at level one and just like, play the game just like not play for balling like at all. If they're playing something like my Mew, like it's just so hard to secure against that. And then I just don't like the feeling of like, let's just coin flip all the Mews in lane and hope that we get more of them with Solar Beam. For me, it's just like I don't know. That kind of play is just hoping that our secure like ticks faster. Yeah. Hopefully that I get it with my beam instead of theirs. I think there's a way to play, try like in their jungle or like really aggressively, something like that. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have like that many bot lane as people think.
Yeah. Okay. I like that take quite a bit. All right. One last question. This one comes from chat. Otter, why are you griefing Snowpoint's games in TFT?
You know, he can pay me for coaching because I don't know. I feel like I've given him too many hours for free, but.
Fair enough, fair enough.
I'll
fair
answer
enough.
The question behind a paywall.
That's okay, uncoachable.
Yeah, that could be true. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, well, let's switch it over to our final subject of the evening. We're going to do a tier list. This one may be a little more straightforward or not so much compared to the other episodes that we've done. Do this for all of you. We're just gonna make a tier list of all the attackers in Pokemon Unite. This is definitely gonna be a full roster, so we'll try to move through it a little quick. I think there's some that we can definitely just put that up there, and then we can fill these up rather fast. Let's throw Absol into this list. I think they can definitely qualify as the attacker role. Where do you think Absol lands when played as an attacker?
I mean, he got nerfed. I didn't really play since he got nerfed. Have you guys tried him?
Yeah.
How does he feel? Because Mame doesn't really play him anymore. He was like one of the best Absol players.
Yeah, I mean, it's because he played like Dodrio a lot. I mean, yeah, Dodrio, if you play a jungle, Dodrio is better than Absol. Bot lane's like, it's like hard. Maybe like more Pokemon like being added would make it a little easier.
Sure.
Having like comparison point is good. I mean, it's definitely not. Yeah,
not
it's probably.
C.
It's probably
it's
not
B.
A. It's not
I think,
A. It's probably.
I think it's probably. It's think probably it's... A. I mean, I think it, oh. Anything that's not Mew, we should like. We're gonna put an A, right? Like we don't.
Everything.
No. Okay. We're not gonna.
Garchomp bot
like,
A.
I meant that we're not gonna leave like 10 ranks just for fun, like between them, right? Like we can fill up A, even though we know that it's a much bigger gap between S to A.
Okay,
but
it could be bottom of A. Yeah, that's.
I do
yeah,
think
let's just put more.
If you're playing there. Something that's not me, I don't have any Absol games ever, like not a single one. But I
no
do
Absol
think,
games, but put it in A. But put it
I
in
do,
A.
I do think I agreed with Kyrios when he said it's probably like one of the best ones. It does like
okay.
It's the same as Serena, except it has like pre-5, pre-6. It's still pretty good. Still
Got
pretty
it.
Good.
All right. Interesting. Okay, interesting take for sure. I definitely did not see Absol climbing up this high on this list. All right, well, let's talk a little Ninetales. Otter, where would you put this? And then we'll bring it down if we need to. But where would you put a little Ninetales?
A or B. It's very matchup dependent.
Below or above Absol?
Probably below. Just because you can blind pick Absol like a lot more safely than Ninetales.
Sure. And yeah, that's an interesting conversation. These Pokemon, I think, definitely shift a little bit when draft it would be introduced, right? I think A9 definitely moves up in viability in a draft format, but yeah, it could move down. Rima and Kyrios, are you okay leaving A9 in this A tier spot, or do you think it deserves to be? I think it should be like at least bottom of B.
I haven't played her at all. I guess in a draft tournament where Mew is not existent in the team, she could be viable.
Mew's on the list though, right? So we have to put it somewhere else.
It could be B. Like, the argument for B, like, generally exists more.
Okay. Curious?
Yeah.
Are you okay with B?
I think the point about the blind pick is pretty strong. You have to like be comfortable with like not having a complete counter pick when you go into games, because I mean, like, say like take Venusaur for example, right? I play that Pokemon a lot. Like, there's always a danger of running to an Absol. So that's why Venusaur will never be like top tier. He'll always be like, you can only play it against certain Pokemon. But I mean, B.
I put a bottom of A.
Behind a bunch of Pokemon.
I want this
but bottom of
in
A.
C, but we'll put I mean, it at bottom of A.
The reason why it fell out of meta when it did, because it was good for a time, was they slightly nerfed it, which was fair, but it's because Blissey, you would play Perma versus Blissey bot lane, and it has such a horrendous matchup into Blissey. And then Venu at the time shined just too greatly.
Okay. Interesting. All right, this is a hot take in itself, so we'll leave it for there. If it is terrifying, then we will change. All right, I'd say these next three we can definitely skip. I would say Cramorant would be the next Pokemon we would consider to be fitting into this category. Otter, what you want this in S? What's going on?
I don't want to have to say what I have to say, but I'm not a big Cram fan right now.
Really? Okay.
I think it's best at the early lane, but if you even lose like a single one of the farm that you're contesting, which there's a lot of characters in the game right now that are good that can do that, like you gain no value for picking the character. Like, sure, it has a good ult and stuff, but it's still too much like fall off, and it needs like a Blissey ult and stuff to even do anything that can be like, completely disengaged on. There's a billion bushes, you can kite it. Like, I don't know. It's probably low B or high C.
Okay, I'll leave it in C for now. Any opposition to that, Rayma or Kyrios?
I mean, I haven't.
C's too low, I think.
Yeah, I think he can still invade the enemy jungler a lot and jump over that wall, so I think that still makes him better than some other attackers.
Okay.
But the air slash nerfs did hit him hard, and you gotta play him like a lot better now to get value out of him, and I think even the best like Cramorant player in the world is picking him a lot less now.
Yeah.
So I was looking at his match history yesterday because I did a tier list myself.
Oh,
so
cool.
That I also put him lower. I put him like around B, like low B.
Okay. Well, let's keep him at B then. I think the hot take of C is maybe a bit too.
A lot of how I think about the good attacker characters right now is how they match up into what I think is like the most oppressive characters and most popular characters for the enemy team, which is which is Absol, Aegislash, and Serena. And I think it has a horrible matchup into every single one of them.
Yeah, no, it's
like 100-0 matchup.
Infinity percent.
I guess if you put Serena there.
Yeah. Alright, well, on shaky ground in B.
I still think
B.
It's better
shaky
than
Venu. Ground in B. Alright, yeah, we need to have somebody in C, and it seems like Venu might be taking that spot. Okay, let's talk about Espeon, because I have a request for my Zug in chat to do it. Where do we think this Pokemon lands? I heard a lot of Espeon believers in our chat earlier about these Pokemon. Do you think it's good enough to be above Absol?
I think it's better than Ninetale, and it's almost equivalent to Absol.
Wow.
I think it's fair there in like a blind pick.
Okay. Kyrios, talk to me about Espeon.
Espeon is it's like the best Pokemon in the game, level 4. And I think that's a very important thing to keep in mind, because I think the bot lane is really fixated on trying to get a very solid laning phase. I think when you have a level 8 ultimate as well, it makes it very, very important to try to get like levels on it. And it's really easy to do that on Espeon. Like, you can't do it on like Glaceon bot, you can't do it on like the Gardevoir bot lane, things like that, but you can do it very easily on the Glaceon. It only has one evolution. And even though his ult is like not the greatest, but I think it can still easily win a Regia Lucky fight. I think it'd put it above Absol. I think it's better.
Ooh.
I think the last hit in the laning phase is so powerful, and the fact that you get so much EXP out of bot lane now that it becomes really, really broken if you can just get every single last hit. Just imagine you play bot lane and you don't get a single creep when the Espeon hits 4.
Wow.
You can't play, right? You literally can't do anything.
Okay.
And I think if you envision that against a good Espeon player, that'll happen every game.
Okay, interesting. All right, so Espeon definitely winning a little bit more in this conversation. Otter, I also have a lot of pitchforks and torches in my chat saying that you're a liar. And what are your real opinions on Espeon?
I meant what I said. I think Sug's being a little exaggerative. I like all the cats, and I did say that I think it's the best
Cat.
cat.
Okay. Next Pokemon. We're moving on. We're not talking about this boy as a dog,
Snorlax.
clearly. Oh no. Okay. Does Gardevoir fit this conversation? Probably not, right? I think that Pokemon's only central. Can you play this in lane?
Yeah, it's a D tier though.
You can take it.
Okay, yeah, put in D tier.
You can take it, yeah.
Matches the color scheme of D tier. It's pretty
All right, do
clean.
we put Greninja lane D tier as well then, if we're going by this category?
Take, no, there, there's a
take
build.
Greninja out of
We
here,
can't
bro.
name the creator of the build, but there's a build
Please.
where you can play lane.
Okay. All right, let's keep on cruising then. Machamp, curious, you have played this Pokemon in a world's environment, so we have to put it on the list. Where do you put Machamp in this current metagame?
I haven't played Machamp a single time in the new map. I don't think it's playable,
right.
really.
D-tier,
I don't think it's
so.
playable, but there was an argument for AU that still like values that character a lot more than we do.
Yeah, it's either
Oh, yeah.
high
EU and
C
Lakoting are the
or low
two
B.
players.
It's a
High C,
character.
low B.
It's a
Okay.
character where you, I think now more than ever, you have to like go crazy on it. And if you
Okay.
do, it's a great character. It's a phenomenal character, but it's really hard to do what you have to do. You have like the job that the character makes you kind of deliver for how horrendous it is, like most of the time. How
For
it's
sure.
squishy when it's not an ult. No
Yeah.
sustain.
Yeah, EU definitely loves this Pokemon for sure. I saw some submission builds being toyed around with recently, which is interesting at the very least, but I don't know. But I think C is a fine place to leave Machamp.
For its kill pressure alone, it is a monster at like pulling back comeback XP.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a
Oh,
really
for
good thing
sure.
about it.
Yeah, like the all-in strats of like, well, we all just jump on this guy and hopefully we get away is a reasonable strategy with Machamp. Okay, let's talk about Pikachu. Definitely had a lot of conversation around them in the support category, because of your stack mate there, Otter. But where do we want Pikachu? Rima, you played so much of this Pokemon back in the day. Where do you think that Pikachu ends up nowadays?
I think he's in B because he has a really
Wow.
hard time farming versus Mew, and the laning phase is almost unplayable. But you with Pikachu, you can always get a pick with your alt throughout the game, so you can always get a high value pick for your team with your ultimate and your CC with Volt Tackle.
Okay.
So it's more like a utility pick now, less
For
than
sure.
a like a power pick.
I was gonna say, I see this character. I see its movesets. The only good character is the one that makes you, the only good moveset is the one that makes you die. So I think it is like Volt Tackling and Electro Balling, you're gonna die, but you're gonna get a lot of value out of it, and it makes more sense to be the support. So just being at the bottom of the XP of your entire
Otter, I don't know if you got to re-unplug or re-plug in your mic, but you went full robot there on me. Did
Oh, I'm
anybody else
sorry.
hear that?
It might be my
It
internet.
sounded good to me. I think.
Yeah, it sounded
Oh,
good to me.
cool. No, you're good. Totally. It's just my end. That's
Okay,
awesome.
sorry. But I was just
Well,
saying.
I think making him put the XP share is nice because he you can give the last.
Just died.
No, sorry about that. My Discord
Oh.
was going wild. I don't know if it's going to make the podcast on table, so I just left and rejoined. How are we sounding now?
That's good.
It sounds good to me.
Ooh, it's still bad on my end. I don't know why. Okay, no problem. We'll figure that out.
Or is just full blind pick? Because if it's full blind, I mean, I don't know. But
I
I
just
mean,
think
he's good into Absol.
the character has really great utility.
Good and
It's back and forth. It's like whoever sees the other one first, the you know, if
has
the Pika chooses the Absol first, then the Absol will die. But if the Absol sees the Pika first, the Pika will die.
its utility comes from trading one for one. So instead of it being, it should never be the character that has the most amount of XP, which like the attack roll right now has. So it makes so much more sense to be a
Well, I
support.
think a comp where Pikachu would be the attacker, you wouldn't make him like one of the main carry. You'd have some top laner you want to feed or a jungler you want to feed.
Yeah.
I guess.
Maybe, but at the same time, it's like it's super squishy and you have to go in with your move. It's like you would rather play like a tank bot lane instead of Pikachu if you want to play like that, in my opinion. But I think like the main issue, I mean, you already said it already, so I don't know. I would just put a bunch of Pokemon between Cramorant and Pikachu.
Yeah,
I think
and
the
then move
gap
them
between
around.
Cram, yeah, I think the gap between Cram and Pikachu is like three Pokemon or something like that. Like that, I think that'll be a fine decision.
Cool. Okay. All right. Pikachu remains B. Yeah. Sorry about
the
chat.
Tier list anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Who do we think that kind of fits next? Maybe Venusaur. We could throw onto this list next.
Yeah.
You have to screen share your tier list.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
My bad. Okay. There you go. Okay, Venusaur in D, I hear. Rima, you want all the way down there. Otter, any
I think it's definitely, like, significantly better than Gardevoir. It's probably the bot of C, though.
Okay. Curios, can I put this in
C? I feel like Gardevoir plays the Bs better, though.
I think Venusaur is better than Machamp.
Yeah, true. That's a point.
I think, like, you can still... I mean, I have, like, Mew's in the game. I guess you can't touch the Mew as Venusaur, but we're talking more just like, I mean, like, all these Pokemon aren't going to do much to Mew, but we're probably, we're talking more about, like, you know, hypothetically it's banned, it's not allowed, something like that, or, like, someone picked it in the draft mode or something like that. Like, Mew is, like, I think this is a good decision, where, like, Mew is just, like, S, and then everything else just, like, whatever, but if we're talking about the context against other Pokemon in the game, then Venusaur's just not, like, the worst. It would be, like, like if you played against a bunch of all-rounders on the enemy team, like some teams do that, it can be really, really good, but it's very situational as a counter pick, but it can also struggle a lot against like the Espeon, the Absol, like top of C, bottom of B.
My issue is with Venu is that it loses to the range attackers, but it also loses to the current melees, like Sword cuts Venu like instantly.
The laning's always the hard part for the Venusaur. So a lot of the times in like the old map, you could cover that up with 3 bot lane and kind of just play to punish any melees or also just go for the last hits against any ranged. You can still make that work, but it's just like not going to be that effective anymore just because like, I don't know, you need those power spikes to get that first Regieleki lucky top lane or something like that, mobility, or just like really high burst. Venusaur doesn't really have any of that. It was like okay in the last map. Because, I don't know, like, you hit 6 or 7, and then you could just kind of play to be really annoying, live for a long time, and then your top lane, your jungle, were, like, super powerful, like, level 9, and then just comes down, kind of dominates the Dreadnought, but you don't play for Reggie bot lane that much, so it's, like, not that valuable.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, Venu in C. Unfortunate. I mean... Unless any of you really want to move it, but I think all of that was definitely a good argument to leave it down there and see.
I think it's worse than Machamp, but
you think it's worse than Machamp right now?
I think Venu has no strengths, and it needs to be it's a character that needs XP inflation, but right now in this meta, it has actually no strengths.
Okay, all right, Rima, we have one vote on either end. Venu above or below Machamp?
Well, Machamp has like better secure than Venu in lane already. So I think he's below Machamp.
Wow. The champion keeps on moving up. Okay. Well, fair enough. Let's jump to our next Pokemon. I think the next most viable Pokemon to talk about is probably Sylveon. I think this Pokemon's probably A tier, right?
At the beginning of the... When they inserted a new map, we were talking about Sylveon. I think we fought her, and we were saying she was one of the worst mons in the game. But now I think she went up a little.
Yeah, after this patch, it's a lot better.
Yeah, especially since they nerfed the Rayquaza health, I guess.
Okay, the bird is back a little bit.
I think I would move Ninetales to B and put Sylveon where Ninetales is.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, our tier list became so much more viable. Like Ninetales out of A.
Espeon and Absol are definitely better than Sylveon in just blind pick, like versatility.
It looked good when you played her, but I don't know if it's because Zagreb got all those hits in lane.
No, it's also,
lane versus Adelphox a lot.
We got to play versus favorable team comps, I would say. Like, we got to play into Alluka.
So what do you think of her strength? Strength right now.
Insane level 4, but into most teams who, like, once the Sylveon meta starts to unfold, they'll never get they're never gonna let you get level 4. and then your side lane, like, once you, since right now you're breaking a tower basically as fast as possible, Playing long lane on Sylveon, it's such a nightmare to you can't play into Sylveon in a long lane, as most characters. But the biggest issue is that right now it has a bad matchup into the big three, into Serena, Absol, and Sword. It's a really good draft pick mon. It's not a good blind pick mon.
Interesting. Okay. Curious, any thoughts on Sylveon before we move on to the next Pokemon?
No, it's solid. It's low force, really good. Has a level 8 ult, so that makes it pretty viable when you go for that first fight. It can be really annoying to deal with in lane, especially if you're playing a Pokemon that doesn't kind of excel in that laning phase. I mean, a lot of Pokemon do right now, but if you get a matchup, like Otto was saying, and kind of have a good situation, especially with like a team comp, maybe like a Wigglytuff could be really, really good at Sylveon. Something like that is you can do really well with it for sure. But yeah, picking it and then going into a game against a Mew or like an Absol is not gonna be fun, but draft pick could be good.
Sure. Okay. Hopium on the draft pick for sure. All right. What do you think is the next Pokemon that we should add into this list here? If we're looking across, I mean, defenders have taken the role a little bit of attackers sometimes. Does Decidueye make this list, or is that a must play in the central area? I mean, Yeetfan brought this Pokemon with a lot of success.
Yeah, we can add a Yeetfan here.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say where it's gonna
See?
be.
We have to add it below D.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say where it's gonna be.
Oh. Oh, I
But
can't catch strays on my
no, I mean,
podcast.
it's horrible. It's just horrible right now. It's just
Okay.
negative early game is not acceptable at the
D
moment.
tier?
Probably.
Oh. Rima, do you think D tier is true for the bird?
As attack, I think it there's some arguments to be made about him in the jungle. Like, AU really values Decidueye a lot more than we do. Like, a lot more. I've had like endless discussions with them, but anyway. But in the attacker role, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, the enemy team is gonna be pushing in Regieleki into your T2 when you're still trying to evolve or something.
Right. Yeah, it can get ridiculous. Okay. Curios, any hopium for Decidueye?
I don't really see any hoping for the situation.
All right, sounds good.
It just like literally does not exist until level 7.
Yeah, it's irrelevant
And
to
even
level
when
seven.
you hit level 7, it's like when is there a squishy Pokemon sitting in the back lane gonna let you arrow them for free? It's like very, very hard. Like, of
Yeah.
course you could say like if you just hit every arrow on the squishy targets, like it's the best Pokemon in the game.
There
It's
you
like
go.
you play against a good team. That's just it won't ever happen. So even if you get 7 before that first objective, like what are you gonna do? And then it's gonna be really, really hard to hold onto your pads in this meta. And Decidueye is really powerful because when you play around a pad and you're really quick, with that speed zone and you have a lot of healing, you can be pretty hard to kill. But everybody breaks the pads like immediately. So when will you ever have a pad to play around another Quaza? It's like never.
Yeah, that's true. That's a
Good
good point.
point.
Well, the Memorial tier is definitely down in D. Do we think that Dragonite fits the bill to be on this list?
I
Probably.
have not seen him play an attacker role yet.
I feel like it's the same as the Decidueye. It's 8 is like
No, it's gotta
better.
be better. It's gotta be
It's
like C tier now.
8. Yeah, the Hyper Beam is stronger than the Shackle, but it's like you also don't exist until level 8. Decidueye doesn't exist until level 7. It's like, eh.
But it has like a fantastic amount of bulk.
Yeah, it's tanky when his yeah, Dragonite's like much more valuable than the Decidueye for sure.
I think the inability to juggle the Dragonite stocks is what. Otherwise, this would be like an A tier, like a high B tier. I think that nerf was so bad for this character. The fact that you have to like play in a way that impedes your movement, which like puts you in a lot more dangerous positions on the character.
Oh, for
It's not
sure.
what you. It's not what you want for your like inflated character.
Okay, got it. So is C tier fine, or should we move it all the way down to D?
I think
It could
it's
be
not gone any.
useful.
It's not gone any play. It's not seen any
Oh,
play. But I think
yeah.
in theory it's got to be at least decent.
Okay.
C's fine.
Sounds good. Let's hit one of the other melee attackers. If we have Absol on here, I think we have to throw in Serena. I think Serena's still good enough to be A in lane easily. Like, maybe
It's
better than
better.
Espeon.
It's better than Sylveon, no doubt.
Okay,
But
better than Espeon
yeah,
Absol?
I. It's you can get denied pretty pretty hard. Like, you can get denied easier than Absol can. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the Sarita, I mean, she has the same game plan every game, right? She gets her ult off on some, or her night move on somebody
Yeah.
that's worthwhile, and then boom, she kills everyone. But if that doesn't happen, it's like, I mean, it's like not the easiest to prevent, especially on this map where there's a ton of pushes. So I think that's why Serena's been pretty effective. Like when we see Serena in like the Worlds patch, there's not many ways for the Serena to get on the carry except like just dashing into the carry and hoping that they don't have some kind of CC immunity or something like that.
Yeah.
But in this meta where there's a ton of bushes and also you can recharge your Unite really quickly, those two points make Serena powerful again.
If it does get online, it's far closer to Mew than any other character on this list.
Wow.
Yeah, for sure. It's strong.
And do
If
you
you have
still
like level
play it in
13,
the
it's so
attacker
strong.
role, or do you think that top path just picks up this Pokemon?
I think attacker is probably the best. Like,
Okay.
it became good top path because the other top characters became useless. Lucca. But right now, like, Azu is a demon. Azu will destroy you. Like,
Yeah.
you
Azu is
cannot you
crazy.
cannot just int score top, you're gonna die, and then the Azu is gonna become a monster and then run the game, just out tempo you. So
Yeah, Pokemon's nuts. Okay, let's keep it cruising. We're getting a little over time now. Let's talk about Duraludon. This is kind of a sleeper pick. A lot of people like this Pokemon, but a lot of people are sleeping on it, I think. Where does the big old dragon sit?
I'm
B?
snoozing. I'm big snoozing.
Oh.
I'm snoozing even harder than that.
For me, on the tier list that I made, I put him very, very low, but then there were some arguments made that like Rayquaza health got nerfed. Flip is like a little bit better now, and we should move him up a tier. But personally, I would.
I think if I went to a game, I'd rather play Duraludon than Cramorant. I think that's where I put him. I think he's
Wow,
much
all the way up in
better than people
B.
give him credit. I mean, like, even during like previous patches and things like that, I think Duraludon still had a lot of merit, but I mean, like, it didn't have a good matchup into like Dragonite, it didn't have a good matchup into Serena, it didn't have a good matchup into Aegislash, which is why I don't think it saw much success at Worlds. But I mean, Serena's still solid, but I think Aegislash is easier to play around the Aegislash on this map, and then the Serena, yeah, I mean, you can't do much about Serena, but hopefully you can kind of Dragon Tail her. His damage is still nuts. His
Yeah.
cure is really good.
Really? I think
His
D-Pulse
ult is
is.
solid, but I mean, yeah, you go. Actually, yeah, maybe don't go T-Pulse. Maybe just go Flash
D-Pulse
Cannon.
is so painful. I
Yeah,
just
maybe.
think Duraludon has the same problems as Vinu does. Weak early, like weak early secure and stuff. And then
Yeah.
bad matchup into the range characters, and then bad matchup into the relevant melee characters, which is. And then Mime. Just think about, like, you've never seen this character versus Mime, but just what does Mime do to this character you don't want to see?
Yeah, he has very low mobility. That's the
And very his
problem.
special defense stat is horrible. Like,
Uh-oh.
he gets destroyed.
Yeah,
Okay.
you'll struggle against those Pokemon, but it's like when you look at like Pikachu or Cramorant, it's like I'm pretty sure the same thing just happens to all those Pokemon at the same time, but Duraludon's actually a hyper carry and those two aren't. But like Cramorant,
One of them guarantees value. Like, Pika guarantees value when it dies. It's gonna die. That's not the question. But this Duraludon character that most of the time gets its ult canceled as well.
this Duraludon
I
character,
don't see it. I
this
don't see it as
thing
a.
that
It's not
calls
a. It's not a. It's not a.
itself
At the moment, it's not a Pokemon. It doesn't earn that
Duraludon.
title.
Oh, I love that. Okay. It's found its way. I think you have given some harsh criticisms, maybe enough to put it below D-Knight. This thing's better than a Gardevoir, though, right? Okay, cool.
Well, actually,
Okay, we'll move on.
I don't
We'll
want to
move on.
stretch.
We'll
I don't
move
want to
on.
stretch it that way. I
What
don't want
if
to.
Gardy got a four-man alt, though?
There we go.
Yeah, against Leon and his buddies.
Damn. Okay. Delphox. A, top of B. Where do we think?
Probably between Serena and Sylveon, IMO.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Think those fall good, and then if she falls behind in lane, you can always give her some other farm in the map, like the jungle farm or something.
Sure. I think it's a good spot. Kyrios, how about Glaceon?
I don't know if she's played as an attacker at all right now.
Yeah, so
Sure.
like
Even when I played her as an attacker, I wasn't supposed to play her as an attacker. I just did it for fun.
I don't think it's fair to list it as attacker. It doesn't have any like.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. It would. Yeah. That's
just so bad until six.
Yeah.
I see, bro. I even though bro's a defender, it's the most attacker out of all of them. Like, okay. I know there's an argument to kind of get like any character in here.
Where
bro,
would you put slow bro then?
Somewhere in B.
Surely. Oh, okay.
Last time I saw a Slowbro being played, there was just Toonsim complaining that he was playing with not a Pokemon the whole game.
To be fair, before this past patch, I thought Slowbro was the worst, or like in contention for like one of the worst characters in the game.
Mm. Okay. Well, all right, we're moving down Slowbro. But then
I think it's solid.
All right, curious, what are your thoughts on Slowbro as attacker?
Right, technically Mime is an attacker.
Okay. All right, I think
Slowbro's the last one. Looking at the roster, I think Slowbro is the last like reasonable one. Like, you can't put Blast or like anything else on there
right,
here.
Right, right. Okay.
The full days are gone.
You could slap bro at the bottom of B, it's fine. I think solid has a lot of utility.
Yeah, bottom of B, yeah.
So you think you'd rather have Slowbro than Dragonite as attacker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Because I would much rather.
Slowbro has some matchups that are so premium.
Yeah. Oh, Slowbro in draft is like yeesh tier, for sure. I think that.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of like why I it's in B, I think it's because of like draft, but there's no like horrible matchup apart from Mew, but you know, there's no bad matchup. It's good into every meta character right now, and its ult is always going to be good. Now that like Wiggly is not insane and buddies don't exist.
Cool. Okay. Well, awesome. So that is gonna be our tier list, everybody. This is our attackers. We definitely could force some more things in here. We could probably remove some things. But I think this is a good place to halt it. So we will switch it back to the four of us here. Let me do this on the stream, but yeah, I have we've had a pretty solid episode, a lot of discussion here about the attacker role, a good tier list was made, that was fantastic. So thank you so much to the three of you for joining me, teaching me a lot of things about this current metagame, how to play Mew well, what bushes to go in, what bushes to not go in, that's always fascinating. But now that we are coming to a close, I want to give each of you the chance to sell out, shout out, plug whatever you need to. If you got Metafies, Twitters, Twitch, make sure to let everybody know where they can find you. Rima, let's start with you.
You can find me every day live on Twitch on twitch.tv/Rima_Evenstar. And my Twitter and actually all of my social media handles are the same. And I am launching my Metafy profile tomorrow, actually.
Amazing. So
make sure to stay tuned for that.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, fantastic. Make sure you go get coaching from one of the best to ever do it. Curios, how about you? Where can people find you?
Yep, I'm Curios on Twitch. Twitter, Curios_Ignite. But I mean, if you do Curios on Twitter too, you'll find me. Yeah, I'm doing Metafy as well on curiometafy.gg at Curios. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same everywhere as well.
Okay, I'm awesome. Getting a lot of cuter Rioses in chat, so a lot of love being sent your direction for sure.
I appreciate it.
Otter, you are up next.
All right, so I'm just on Twitter and Twitch under OtterVDC, and I'm excited to. I mean, right now off season's kind of snoozer, but I will. I do stream pretty often, and I do intend to stream a lot of Scarlet and Violet when they come out. So
sick.
Yes.
Excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. New Pokemon release is always a hype.
So
time
exciting!
For sure. I know. Yes. I think we're all excited. Curious, maybe not, but the rest of us for sure.
I'll play it. I'll probably.
Okay.
Play it.
Good to hear. Well, thank you so much, the three of you. Make sure you go follow all of them, sign up for the Metafies, and of course, make sure to click the Twitch and learn everything you can from watching the three of these players play. In terms of Unite Mike's plugs, there's not too much. You can find this podcast on any streaming service, or Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, everywhere. If you're already there, please leave a 5-star review. It just helps more people find the show. That would be amazing. And then the other thing is Unite Mike's Mayhem has been going on for 3 weeks now. It's our Unite Mike's Mike's Tuesday Invitational Tournament. It's been super fun. Otter, you won last night. You're going to be coming back next week on Tuesday, potentially, or if I don't know if you're going to be able to make it or not, but their team going to be coming back on Tuesday. So very, very exciting tournament format, changes every single week. Look forward to that this upcoming Tuesday. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we'll have another Overdunk episode covering another role. So look forward to that. But I have been Zoinks on you, Night Mikes. These have been three of the best attackers in the entire world. And this is all for Overdunk tonight. We'll see you all next time. Goodbye.